as values, meaning to say that the halachos aren't just halachos, but they're a reflection of the idea of the mitzvah. So, to some degree, whenever you study halacha, and certainly if we do Kibud Av Ve'Em next, we'll see that there, you'll see how the idea of Kibud Av Ve'Em is reflected in halacha, in sometimes surprising ways, actually. I think when you study halacha, you sometimes are surprised, and the halachos don't always reflect your intuitive presumptions as to what the mitzvah is and what it's about. So, okay, so we have three topics. If you want, keep Klei HaMikdash. Okay, so we are in Hilchos Teshuvah, and we finished Perek Vav last time, so we're up to Perek Zayin, which actually brings us back to the topic of Teshuvah. Perek Zayin Halacha. Oh, here are the Rambams. Okay. Ha'ol v'rishus kol adam nesunalo k'moshe b'yarno. Since, as we explained in the previous chapters, everybody has free will, yishtadel adam lasos tshuva lehisvados b'fiv mechata'av v'linor kapav mechata'av. Therefore, a person should must try to do tshuva and do vidoy verbally, and to set themselves, to free themselves from the sins. The Lashon sort of implies that you become free by doing tshuva and shedding yourself of the sins that in a certain sense weigh you down. And the question obviously over here, which we dealt with all the way back in the week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is why is he returning to tshuva? Meaning to say, Perek Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet were about tshuva, Hey Vav were about free will, and now he's back to tshuva. We understand that free will is a necessary component to do tshuva, and you need to do tshuva because we are free. But why is he, why did he interrupt his discussion of tshuva with a free will? Either do free will as a hakdama or do free will as a postscript, but why the middle? So we'll return to that question in just a moment. Rambam here adds, Kedei she'emus v'hu v'al tshuva v'yizkel chayolam haba, so that when he dies, he'll be in a state of tshuva, and thereby earn chayolam haba. Li'olam yira adam atzmo ki'ilu huno telamas. So now the Rambam says that, seeing that that is the case, so a person should always see themselves as though they may die. Now, that's not, I mean, they should be morbid and go around thinking that any day it's going to be it. Rather, the point is that thinking about death can have a positive effect on a person's life in many ways. One is to help them appreciate how precious life is and to take it seriously and to get the most out of it. I think I mentioned to you the story of my grandfather in the Tachrichim. Anyone remember that? No. Okay, maybe I didn't tell it to you. I don't remember. I teach a lot of different people, so I never know quite what I said to each group, and sometimes I feel like I'm repetitive. So, anyway, once my grandfather was, he lived in Israel, and I was studying in Israel at the time. He was coming to America for Pesach, so I went to his house to help him pack. He says, giving me this thing and that thing to put in the suitcase, and then gives me this big, heavy package. So I put it in a suitcase. I said, what is it, Zaidi? He says, it's my tachrichim. So I got very scared. He wasn't feeling well the other day. I thought, like, he thought he was going to die any minute. It's like, Zaidi, the doctor said, you're okay. So he could see I was really spooked. So he said, no. Ever since I turned 70, Baruch Hashem, he was Zocha Tarichos Yamin, he lived well to his 90s. He lived independently till his late 80s, maybe no longer. Anyway, he said, since I turned 70, whenever I go somewhere for an extended period of time, I take my tachrichim. I said, why? He said, first of all, you have to be prepared. And I also don't want to be a burden on anybody if I die. So it's a, my grandfather was generally a very happy person. His favorite song was Mitzvah Gadol Lelios B'Simcha. But thinking about death wasn't something that made him depressed. Maybe it did at times, but overall, in general, it was something that I think gave him chizuk. I think generally speaking, we are shielded from death. We don't see it so frequently. In the olden days, people would encounter death much more frequently. People didn't live as long. People died at home. Infant mortality was higher, children and the like. And so we don't think much about death. And when we do, it sometimes, instead of helping us, it could depress us. But what the Rambam here is telling us is that really it should be something that should be on a person's mind. And why? So one reason is what he's about to say. Because v'shama yamus b'shato, let's say you don't think about death. So you don't do tshuva. You say, oh, I have a while left to go. I don't need to do tshuva now. And then the person dies. V'nimtza omed b'chata'av, he's died in a state of sinfulness. L'fikach yashuv mechata'av miyad, the person should repent immediately. Obviously should repent in general to return to Hashem and be close to Hashem. But beyond that, sometimes that alone won't inspire a person. So let them think about the possibility that if they don't do tshuva right now, they might never have a chance. The lo yomar k'shazkin ashuv, a person shouldn't say, when I grow old, I will do tshuva. Shama yamus tam shiaskin, maybe he'll die before he becomes old. Hu sheshlomo amar b'chachmaso, b'chol eis yiyu v'gadecha levanim, at all times your clothing should be white, meaning to say pure and in a state of tshuva. Al tomar she'en tshuva ela me'averos she'yesh bahen ma'aseh. A person should not say that tshuva is limited to averos that have an action in it. Sometimes we think of tshuva too much in terms of physical mitzvos. Even mitzvos averos of speech, like lashon hara and the like, kigon znos, v'gazel, neva. Ela k'shem she'tzarich adam l'shuv me'elu, just like a person, obviously, and we all intuitively know, have to do tshuva from sins that have some type of action component. Kach hu tzarich l'chapes b'de'os ha'ra'os she'yesh lo v'lashuv min ha'kas u'min ha'ivad. Likewise, a person must repent from his bad character traits, such as anger, jealousy. In this week's parsha, we just read about lo sachmod. The Torah demands of us not just that we act properly in the sense of not doing certain averos or doing certain mitzvos, but also in terms of our deos, our midos. And midos requires tshuva just like actions. Umin akina, and likewise jealousy, umin ha-hitul. Hitul is like a joking around, like tzanos. Umeridifas ha-mamon va-kavod. The character trait, this is very common. In fact, so common that people don't even think of it as so bad. Chasing after wealth or honor. Umeridifas ha-machalos. Being a foodie, is that what they're called? Too into chasing after good foods, the coyote bahen, and the like. Sorry? Yeah. Ah, look at that. Okay, tacharus is competition. Interesting that I don't have that. The version you have is more precise. Uminakol tsarich lachzor b'tshuva. And from all these things, a person must repent. In fact, these averos, meaning to say those relating to character traits, deos, or what we call midos usually, in fact are even the imperative to do tshuva is greater, and it's more difficult. Because when a person is immersed in them, so then kashehu lefrosh mehem, it's very hard to stop. Actions are also hard to stop, but we have a greater sense of control over our actions. Whereas when a person has become habituated to a certain negative trait, it's something that's exceedingly difficult to stop. V'chein hu omer, yazov rasha darko, v'ish aven machshav osav. This pasuk, which we actually read on fast days, highlights the aspect of tshuva that the Rambam's describing, that a rasha will abandon his ways, and a sinful man his thoughts. Meaning to say, it's not a focus on actions, but attitudes, characteristics. So, with this, we could go back to our question, which is, why does the Rambam interrupt his discussion of tshuva with a discussion of free will? And the Rav, and this is written up in Ala Tshuva, has a very powerful answer, and that is that in this chapter, the Rambam focuses on and stresses and introduces the notion of tshuva on character traits. And he prefaces that with his discussion of free will, because intuitively, we all feel free with respect to our actions. So in the earlier chapters, when he discussed tshuva and focused on actions, he didn't need that introduction of free will. But before he introduces free will, he wishes to focus on our freedom and describe that our freedom isn't limited just to actions, but also to deus. And if you just take a look back at the beginning of Parakeh, when the Rambam defined the scope of free will, so the Rambam stressed this point, that a person is free, absolutely free, and not just with respect to their actions, but with respect to deus. And he makes that point explicitly. Both of them. Well, we'll talk about them in a moment, but just to, let me find the lashon I'm looking for. Look at, again, in my version, it's Halacha Dalet in Parakeh. See where I am? Ilu hakel haya gozer al hadam lios tzadik o rasha. O ilu haya davar shemoshech es hadam bikar toladato l'derech min adrachim. If it were the case that God decrees upon a person to be a tzadik or rasha, or there was something that made a person one way or the other by nature, that was his inborn nature. Olam adam min adaos. So the Rambam here stresses that we're free not only with respect to actions, but with respect to deus as well. So the point that the Rav stressed is that before the Rambam discusses our tshuva with respect, our tshuva with respect to deus, he has to introduce that by teaching us that we're free with respect to deus, with respect to our character traits. And thus, he introduces tshuva, that's Perek Aleph through Dalet. He then tells us our freedom, Prakim Hei and Vav, explains that our freedom, the scope of our freedom, even includes Deos. And then in Perek Zion, he goes back and discusses tshuva with respect to Deos. Now, sorry, repeat your question.
Oh, I asked, does that mean once your thoughts have already happened, you can control them so they don't go any further, or like, to stop the thoughts from happening in the first place?
So, this is a very good question. And it likely depends. I think that it's likely, and one interesting discussion of this is the Ibn Ezra on this past week's Parsha Nosachmot, as well as the Sefer HaChinuch over there. There might be times when a person is having a certain negative thought, and they can't just turn it off like that. What the Ibn Ezra explains, I think this is what he's getting at, I think I heard this shot from Rav Tursky once, is that a person can inculcate within themselves Torah values, and doing so will prevent these types of negative thoughts. So like the Ibn Ezra says, that the feeling of jealousy stems from the lack of belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything, and he gives me what's best for me, and if I don't have something, it's because I shouldn't have that. Now, if a person is in a fit of jealousy, they see something that somebody else has that they really want, they may not be able to just stop that thought. But what a person does have is the ability to through contemplation and study of Torah and the like, inculcate within themselves Torah values, like the idea that everything is from Hashem and that he's Tov Lakol and the like. And by doing that, then they won't study, they won't have those feelings. You know, in a sense, it's like a cognitive behavioral therapy and psychology, where the idea that a person might experience certain types of unhealthy thoughts is something that can be controlled, though it's not easy, but it's also, generally speaking, within a person's ability. And if there is something that's not in their ability, so then they're not held responsible for that. Okay. So, halacha dalet. Bal yidame adam bal tshuva shehu meruchak mimalas hatzadikim. A person who has a bal tshuva shouldn't think that he's far from the madrega, from the level of the righteous, mitnei avonos v'achatao shasa, because of the sins that he's done in the past. Maybe a person will think, okay, you know, I've sinned so much. It's true, I've done tshuva, but I'm not going to be like that pure person who has never sinned. Ein adavar kein, the matter is not so. El ahuv v'nechmad hu lefnei bore, ki'ilu lo chata me'olam. He is beloved and desired by God as though he never sinned. V'lo od, el sheschcharo harbei. His reward is incredible. Sha'rei ta'am tam chet, upiresh mimenu, v'kavash yitzro. He tasted the taste of sin and was able to turn away, overcome his desire, and become a new person. And that's awesome. And Hashem recognizes that. Amru chachamim makom shebali tshuva umrim ein tzadik gemurim yicholim la'amod bo. The place, the level that bali tshuva stand, even tzadikim gemurim can't stand there. There are a number of interpretations what that means. But the Rambam says the following: Kolomar ma'alasam gdolam imalas elu shelo chatu me'olam. Their madrega is greater than the person who's never sinned. Mipnei shem kov shim yitzram yoser me'am, because they have to overcome their desire even more. For them to get to this state was even harder. The tzaddik, who's never sinned, was never tempted in the same degree. And change is incredibly difficult. And if you've been able to change, if you succeeded in changing, so that's something that even the tzaddik can't say about himself. And thus, such a person is on an even greater level. Kol neviim, kulam tzivu al tshuva. All the prophets prophesied, commanded about tshuva. Ve'en Yisrael nigalim el b'tshuva. The Jewish people will not be redeemed except through tshuva. Ukvariv ticha Torah shesof Yisrael asos tshuva. The Torah itself promised that in the end, the Jewish people will do tshuva b'sof galusam, at the end of their exile, umiyad hem nigalim, and then they will be immediately redeemed. Shenamar, and this is the pasuk in Devarim, v'ayak yavo alacha kol advarim. It will be that after all these things happen to you, it's a description of the exile. V'shavta ad Hashem elokecha, you'll return to Hashem your God. V'shav Hashem elokecha shvuzcha, and then God will ingather your exiles, and he'll gather you in from all the nations, from the four corners of the world that you've been scattered, and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. He'll make it greater for you than it ever was. This, of course, is a description of the Messianic era. And the Psukim in Parshas Nitzavim tell us that before this, there will be tshuva. So the Rambam says we see two things from these Psukim. Number one is that Geula is guaranteed. Number two is that Geula will be precipitated by tshuva. This raises an interesting question, which is, assuming that there is and will always be free will, which the Rambam certainly maintains is the case, so then how is it possible? How can there be both guaranteed redemption and guaranteed tshuva? This is actually a very interesting discussion, and if you have the old source sheets from the Yud Gimel Yikra Emunah, I don't know if anyone has them. Oh, very good. Okay, somebody has it. So we have some Makoros on this. I have one extra copy. Turn to page 8. The Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to have a debate about this topic, but we'll see. It's not... You want to just make a little more room? See? Okay. It's not so clear. So, page 8. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im Yisrael Osin Tshuva Negalim. Im Lav Ein Negalim. Rabbi Eliezer says, if the Jewish people do tshuva, then they'll be redeemed, and if not, they will not be redeemed. Amar Le Rabbi Yoshua, Im Ein Osin Tshuva Ein Negalim. As Rabbi Eliezer seems to say, that redemption is dependent upon tshuva. Hashem won't bring the Geula until we've done tshuva. Says Rabbi Yeshua, and what would be if they don't do tshuva? In other words, isn't Geula guaranteed? Ela Kodesh Baruch Hu Ma'amid Lahen Melech Shegzerosav Kashos. God Kehaman. God will, if the Jews don't spontaneously redeem, sounds like God will bring upon them decrees, a difficult situation. V'Yisrael Osin Tshuva. And then the Jews will do tshuva, and then they will be redeemed. So it's an interesting point. The Rambam assumes that the Jewish people, perhaps naturally, will always do tshuva in a time of distress. And it's interesting because when you look at Nevi'im and the like, we're not always the best beefed people, but we do. In a time of distress, we always do come, you know, pull it together. Sadly, when things get better, we don't always keep it together. So I don't think so. It's a fair point, but I think the Rambam would say, no, you do have that freedom. Remember, God's knowing what we will do doesn't inhibit our ability to be free. So certain predictions could be made without sacrificing freedom. Now, it does seem like both views assume that there will be tshuva, and it's not so clear what the debate is. Is it simply a debate whether the tshuva will be spontaneous or in response to persecution? At least that possibility. It's also interesting, which view does the Rambam accept? On the one hand, the Rambam accepts the view of Rabbi Eliezer that that redemption is predicated upon tshuva. But at the same time, he also accepts the view of Rabbi Yoshua that which view is it? He writes the Torah promises tshuva. He also writes that redemption is dependent upon tshuva. So it seems that the answer is both, right? The Rambam says both are true. It might be based off of Yerushalmi, which you have below. But the Ramban, I think, has a very, very fascinating perspective on this, and he seems like he's Soser himself. And when you read it carefully, I think what emerges is two aspects of the Geula, very important yisod. So maybe we'll just spend a little time on the Ramban. It will also help us with the Ramban as well. So there's two Rambans we have to read together. One is in Parshas Nitzavim, and one is in Parshas Hazinu. So first, Parshas Nitzavim. These are from the psukim that the Rambam himself quoted. Umal Hashem Elokachas Levavcha. So, this actual pasuk from the Tavnei Rambam didn't quote, God will circumcise your hearts. The question is, what does that mean? He will circumcise your hearts. Says the Ramban, Mavtichacha Shetashuv Elav B'chol Levavcha V'hu Ya'azor Oscha. We will return, repent, wholeheartedly in the end of days, and God will help us do so. Aval hamitzvah zos, al hatshuva niskares ki vosa alavavecha, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, mitzvah sheyitzave osanu lasos kein. V'nemra b'lashon habenuni, lirmos behavtacha ki asid adavar lios kein. So here he says that there will be tshuva, it's guaranteed. Geula is predicated on tshuva. And sounds very much like the Rambam. So now we'll turn to the his commentary on Hazinu. And really, to appreciate the Rambans in Nitzavim versus Hazinu, you have to look at the Psukim in Nitzavim versus Hazinu, because the Rambans really reflect the Psukim. And what I'd like to do is compare Nitzavim and Hazinu, and then we will we'll really have an appreciation of what the Ramban is saying, because there does seem to be two perspectives on Tshuva. So the first one is Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph. We'll read this quickly. So when the brachos and the klalos happen to you in exile, you will take it to heart, and you will do tshuva in galus. You will return to God, listen to His voice, as I am commanding you today. All your heart and all your soul, and then God will ingather your, you bring you back from captivity, and have mercy on you. And He will gather you from all the nations that He has dispersed you to. If your scatterings are at the edge of the earth, or the edge of the heavens, from there He will ingather you, and from there He will take you in. And He will bring you back the land that forefathers inherited, and make you be greater to you, and make you more plentiful than your forefathers. This, of course, is referring to what we call Mashiach, right? Yimos Mashiach. Tshuva, Bachar Sayamim from Galus, Kibbutz Galios, and then we're in Perek Lamed, we just finished Pasuk Hey, page 1090. So this is what we call Mashiach, right? Mashiach will be a state where God will be good to us, greater than He ever was to us. Umal Hashem Elokachas Levav Chavis Levav Zarechan, God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. Li'avas Hashem Elokacha V'chol Levav Chav V'chol Nafshecha, L'man Chayecha, to love Hashem your God with all your heart and all your soul, so that you will live. This pasuk is an interesting pasuk, but now is not the time to talk about it. The way the Ramban understands this is that it means that B'mos HaMashiach, we will do that which is right naturally. Now, as it were, we desire what's unhealthy for ourselves. That's a result of the chait of Adam HaRishon, that the internalization of the Yetzer Hara, such that we desire what's bad for us in a physical sense. We enjoy and yearn for, seek non-healthy foods, but in a spiritual sense as well, that we desire that which is harmful to our soul and that which really destroys us. And B'mos HaMashiach, that will be rectified, such that we'll naturally want to do that which is right. Does that mean we won't have free will? Not necessarily. We had free will in Gan Eden as well, certainly to some degree, because we did actually sin and eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. So what that means is complex. Another time we could talk about it. The Rambam certainly maintains that we'll have free will, Messianic era. In other words, even though it'll be a time when there'll be universal recognition of God, and certainly the struggles that a person struggles with aren't going to be like the ones that perhaps they struggle with now, it doesn't mean that there won't be freedom at all. But again, that's a bigger question. Anyhow, this is the description of Tshuva Be'achris Hayamim in Kibbutz Galios and Yimos HaMashiach in Parshas Nitzavim. Pretty straightforward. And like we saw in the Rambam and the Ramban, it involves both Geula preceded by Tshuva. In Parshas Hazinu, we really have a different perspective. It also talks about the sufferings, the travails in exile, as well as the Geula, but the Ramban mentions that there is no mention of Tshuva. I wish we could read through it quickly, like we did for Parshas Nitzavim, but it really doesn't lend itself to quick reading at all. But if you look at, first of all, it describes our early history, God taking us out of Egypt, giving us the Torah, everything going well, wonderfully. Then if you skip to Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, Yeshurun became fat and it rejected God, it kicked, Shamanta Avisa Kasisa, Vaitosh Eloha Asaho, Vaynabel Tor Yeshua, so they rejected God, Yakni'u Bizarim Bisoevos Yachisuhu, they caused God to become angry by their pursuit of Avodah Zarah and other abominations. Yizbichu l'sheidim lo aloha, lohim lo yida'um, chadashim yikarabau, lo se'arum avoseichem. They served idolatry and other things that their forefathers did not fear. Sur yilad chateshi, vatishkach kel mecholulecha. So you forgot your past, you forgot that God created you and brought you here. God was angered. Hester panim. I will hide my face from them. Let's see what happens to them. Banim lo emun ba. My upbringing in them is not recognizable. They've angered me with their foolishness. So they will suffer from a nation that's not a nation, from a disgusting nation, I will make them angry. Says, of course, that my arrows I will use up against them, but they will never be destroyed. So they will suffer, they will be persecuted for their sins, though they themselves will never be destroyed. Then the psukim describe the harrowing descriptions that took place during the destructions of the temple, as well as the exile that followed, famine and disease and horrible, horrible sufferings. And these descriptions continue. It says that God almost was going to destroy us, but he doesn't. And why? Why doesn't he ultimately destroy us? Let's look at Chavav Amarti Afehem. I said I will scatter them. Ashbisa Me'anosh Zichram. I will cause their memory to cease from man. Sounds like that's it. That would be the end of the Jewish people. Lulei Kas Oyev Agur. Were not for the fact that the anger of the enemy was pent up, Peninakro Tsaremo, Penyomru Yadenu Rama, the Lo Hashem Pa'al Kolzos. Yes, lest the enemy say, it was our hands that did this, and it wasn't Hashem that did all this. Meaning, say, the anger, the enemies are going to say that who destroyed the Jewish people? It was us, which of course is false. It was God. Kigoi Ovad Eitzos Hema, Ve'im Bam Tunat. Question, is this talking about the Jewish people or their enemies? But either way, the point is, anyone who was wise would understand. Echayir dof echad elef ushnaim yamisu rivava. How could one pursue 1,000 and two against 10,000? Meaning to say, we see the Ashkach of Hashem not just in our success, but in our destruction. How is it that the enemies were so successful at killing us, at destroying us, that too, in that we see God's hands as well? Imlo kitzuram mecharam, if not that their rock had sold them off, Hashem hiskiram. Kilo kitzureinu tzuram v'oyveinu flilim. And the psukim go on. Lina kam v'shilim le'es tamut raglam, ki karov yom edam v'chash asidos lamo, ki adin Hashem amo, ve'alav adav yisnacham, ki yir'eh, ki azlas yad v'efes atzur v'azul, ve'amar e'elohemo tzur chasayuvo. Where is the God that they once had trust in? Asher chelev zvachemu yochelu yishtu yayin nisicham, yakumu v'yazruchem. Yehi alechem sisra. Ru'u ata ki ani ani hu. Ve'ein elokim ba'adi. Imadi. There is no God, there is no power besides me. Ani amis v'achaya. A reference, of course, to Tchias HaMesim. Machatzdi v'ani arpa. Ve'ein miyadi matil. Ki asa shamayim yadi. God says, I lift up my hand in an oath. Ve'amarti chayim echi l'olam. Im shanosi barak charbi. V'sochez b'mishpat yadi. Ashiv nakam l'tzarai. So now there's a description of God's avenging the enemies, which we had as well in Nitzavim. Ulumisanai ashalem, I will repay my enemies, those who destroyed, who persecuted, who committed evil against the Jews. And there is a description of that as well. Kidam avadav yakom, God will avenge the blood of his servants. V'nakam yashiv l'tzarav v'chiper ad maso alav. So that's it. So there is a description of the Geula, of God finally paying back these for all the evil that they did, but there's no mention of tshuva. Remarkable. Two versions of the Galus, two versions of the Geula, are really very different versions of the Geula. How are we to understand this? So the Ramban makes this point. Take a look at the Ramban over here. This is from Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavav, Ashbisa Me'anosh Zichram, Galuseinu Bein Ha'amim Anachnu Yehuda V'Nyamin She'ein Lanu Zecher Ba'amim V'lo Nechshav La'am V'Uma Klal. This is a description of our state in exile. Perhaps this is no longer fully true, but the Ramban is saying that we're no longer considered a nation in any sense. The psukim implied that al pi din, really, we should have remained in that state of exile forever. Were it not for God's anger at the enemy, he would not redeem us. In other words, there's no longer schosavos, maybe brisavos, but not schosavos, and therefore we don't deserve to be redeemed for our own merit or even the merit of our forefathers. What is going to be the ultimate cause of redemption? The Parsha of Hazinu says, the Chilul Shem Shamayim. Leman Shemo. Mevigo El of Nevneham, Leman Shemo. The Gula will come for his name. This theme, as the Ramban is going to note, is stressed again and again in the book of Yechezkel. The book of Yechezkel says that, oh, let's read, he quotes some of these psukim. Kinyan shamar b'yichezkel, v'kibatzti aschem min haratzos, asher nifutzosam bam, v'nikdashti b'chem l'nei agoyim, v'idatem ki ani Hashem, v'asosi aschem l'man shemi. The Geula is going to come, l'man shemi. The psukim in Yechezkel talk about Galus as the ultimate chilul Hashem, because God's people are trampled upon, despised, and the Geula will come l'man shemi. Lo kid darcheichem haraim uka'ali lo seichem hanishchasim veis Yisrael v'chein emar od va'as l'man shemi. God says, I will act for my own name. Levilti hachel le'inei hagoyim, so it will be no longer desecrated in the eyes of the nations. V'lachach hiskir Moshe b'tfilaso. This idea doesn't just occur in Azinu, and not just in Yechezkel, but you see this theme in many places. For example, Moshe Davins, the Amru Agoyim, Asher Shim'u Eshimacha Lemor. What's that talking about? After the Chet HaEgel, and again, even more so after the Meraglim, Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people. What's Moshe's argument? No, we shouldn't be destroyed for our own sake? No. No, that's not his argument, because for our own sake, we had no Zechus Kiyom. What is the argument he makes? Look at the Chil Hashem. Ma Yom Ragayim. People will say that you took them out of Egypt to destroy them in the desert because you don't have the Karach to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Vatam betayna zos, einenu kirotel aros kochol, bein sonaf. The Ramban says, this is a very important example. What does it mean? When you read those psukim at first glance, it sounds like God saves them so that the enemies, the Mitzrim, the Canaanim, won't have the wrong idea. No, that's not the point. Because it's not about the Canaanim. God doesn't care what they think. They're his enemies. Ki kol agoyim ki'ayin negdo. Me'efes v'tohu nechshavu lo. Aval! Hashem baras adam betachtonim shiakir es bor'o v'yodeh lishmo. God created the world so that there will be people who volitionally recognize God and appreciate that he's our creator and thank him. And he gave us the freedom to choose good or evil. And what happened in world history? The entire world, save the Jewish people, rejected God. Jewish people, starting with Avram Avinu and onwards, were the only people who accepted God. And through them, God demonstrated to the whole world that he is the master over everything. And he made this known to the whole world. That's our parshios. And what would happen if the Jewish people were wiped out? Yishkechu amim es ososav. Who's the ones who remember the osos of Yetzias Mitzrayim, who celebrates every year, every day, the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's us. Were we to be destroyed, as in fact we deserve, so that would be forgotten. The lo yisupar od bahem. The im adam yaskir kain. Yachshivu ki haya koach mikolchos hamazalos v'kolchavim v'chalaf avar. People think, were it not for us that the Exodus took place, they would say, yeah, it was natural. The whole purpose of creation would be for naught. There'd be nobody who knows God if we were to be destroyed. And therefore, for the sake of the purpose of the world's creation, it is necessary that we be his eternal nation and always exist. Because we, more than any other nation, know God and proclaim his goodness. And this is what the Pasuk says in Parsha Hazinu, that God, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, right, which is towards the end, Ki Adin Hashem Amo, for God will have judged his people, and he will relent, he will have compassion on his servants. What does that mean? Shiyizkor Hashem Rachamim, ki hem amo me'az. God will remember that we were his people forever. Viyizkor ki hem avadav sh'amdu lo galusam. We are his servants that stood with him through thick and thin, even in our galus, kavadim lizbalat zaros v'ashibud, like servants willing to accept the tsaros and the shibud. We always were his children, always were his nation. Right, everything was created for God's glory. Vine, skipping a little, Hashira Asher Hi Banu. This song of Hazinu, that is for us an eternal testimony. Tagid bebiur kol motzaos osanu describes precisely all that happens to us. It predicts our history. It describes initially the kindness that God did when He chose us to be His portion. This Kira Tovos Sha'asa Lanu Bamidbar, and it depicts the goodness that He did for us in the desert. That He bequeathed to us the lands of the nations that were great and mighty. Virova Tova. The Osher Vakavod Asher Hinchilanu Ba. In all the goodness and wealth that He gave us. And yet, from that position of incredible bounty, we rebelled to serve idolatry. And it remembers and recollects the anger that He had. To the point that He sent us from our nation, or in our nation, Dever, Virav, Vachaya, Virav, Vacherev. Then He dispersed us to all the corners. And we know that all this happened to us. The Amra Hashira Ki Besof Yashiv Nakam Letzarav Ulemasni Av Yishalem. And this Shira depicts that in the end God will avenge those who did evil to us. Vatam. They did this not because it was a mitzvah like we talked about last week, but because of their hatred for God. They were evil. They didn't hate us because we were wicked, because we did avodah zarah like them. They hated us because we rejected them. Because we rejected their idolatry. We gave up our lives for you, God. Because of their hatred of God, that they did these wicked things to us. They're not just our enemies, but they're God's enemies. And it's clear that these psukim in Parshas Hazinu are depicting the Geula Hasida. Ki bevinyan ba'yisheni lo hirninu goyim amo. Look at the psukim. The psukim aren't describing the partial redemption of Bayesheni. Rak lagu aleim. Because look what happened. In the Bayesheni, look at the book of Nehemiah, it describes our redemption. But we were never free of their domination. They made fun of us. We remained subservient. Ma ha Yehudim ha umlalim osim. Look at what these lowly Jews are doing. Vayug doleim avadim behechal melech. B'chol, Bavel, the Kula Mishu Abadim, Lo Argadolim, were Avadim still. In the palace of Melech Bavel, we remained Mishubad. More or less throughout the Second Temple period, we were vassals to other countries, and even our short-lived independence was not one that could be described, by these psukim. There was never the revenge against the enemies described in these psukim, the Lochi Perad Maso Amo. There's no kapara to the Adama Teretz Yisrael. Look at this whole story in Azinu. There's no condition of tshuva in the Geula. Rak hishtar edus shenasa haraos v'nuchal. It's a shtar that describes the evils, the atrocities done to us. V'shehu yisbarach yaseh banu b'tochachos chema. V'alo yashbisichreinu. He's going to punish us and we will suffer, but our memory will never be lost. V'yashuv yisnachem v'yifra min ha'ivim. And ultimately God will change His mind. he will punish the enemies, b'charba kashal gdola v'chazaka b'yichaper al chatosenu, and these sufferings will be a kapara leman shemo, for his name's sake. Im kein, hashira zos haftacha mivu'eres b'geula sida al karchan shalminin. So this shira is an absolute haftacha of the geula against the minim, against those who deny that we will be redeemed. Now, it's out of time, but we have to explain a couple of very, very important things. So what's the pshat in the stira? Right, we saw Ramban in the Tzavim, and really the psukim in the Tzavim, promising the geula with tshuva. We saw the psukim in Hazinu, also promising geula, but without tshuva. And the truth is that in the Nevi'im you see this. You see some depictions, like the ones in Yechezkel especially, some of which were quoted by the Ramban, depicting the Geula based off of Leman Shemo. The Pesukim in Yechezkel talk about how God will redeem us because of the Chilul Hashem that takes place in the Gullus when his people are persecuted and evil triumphs over good. We have many Pesukim, especially in Yeshayahu, for example, that depict the opposite, that depict the geula coming from a state of tshuva. So to answer this question, I'd like to return to a point that the Ramban over here alludes to, which is the purpose of creation. And when we look at the sources, we find two general themes, at the very least. One, and this is depicted in Ramban as well, but most articulately in the beginning of the Seel Shisharim and the Sefarim of the Ramchal, that of course Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be meitiv. Kadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing. It's not that he created the world for himself. He's missing nothing. He's shalem. Our mitzvos don't do him any good anyway. Tzadakta matitein lo, v'rabu pshacha matase lo. Rather, it's for us, the ultimate act of beneficence. And to be mative in the best possible sense, he had to create a world where we would earn the reward, the pleasure, so we would experience the ultimate pleasure. It's not going to be nama de kisufa and the like. That's one theme. The other theme, which Ramban alluded to here, he describes in other places, like the end of Parshas Bo, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so that people call Shmarasi L'chvodi Barasiv, so that people will recognize him and appreciate him and declare his existence. So which one is it? The answer is they're both true, and they're two different perspectives. One is from our perspective, and one is kaviyachol, to the extent that we can understand it, which we never really can, God's perspective. Our perspective has to be we're here to serve God, even as we understand that ultimately God doesn't really need our service. And likewise, we find with respect to mitzvos, the same in Ramban himself, the same two dichotomies. Mitzvos are for us to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki'ilu Shechina Yitzorach Gavoha, Shrasa Shechina, these upcoming parshios. But also that, like the Ramban writes in Dvarim in a couple of places, that Latov Lach, the mitzvos are for our benefit. He doesn't need them, it's for us. The same two perspectives. And the Ramban says that in the Geula we also have these two perspectives. And we see this in the Psukim describing the purpose and the goal of the Geula. On the one hand, the Geula will be a time where we will be able to be closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than we could possibly be in a state of exile. A time of closeness to God, of wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like no other time in our history. Again, for us. We also have the descriptions of the Geula that focus on Him. Vayah Hashem l'melech hakol haaretz, b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. In that day, God's oneness will be known. Parshas Nitzavim focuses on one aspect of the Geula for us, and therefore it reflects our tshuva and the Geula as a response to our tshuva. Parshas Hatzinu reflects the other part of the Geula, L'man Shemo, that the Geula will happen because of the Chilul Hashem, and will rectify that Chilul Hashem. Even in that phrase that we say in the first Bracha Shmon Esrei, may we go well with Nebneham, L'man Shemo, but also the Ahava, that relationship, that Ahava comes from our choosing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serving Him. And even in that Ramban, in Nitzavim, you depict, in Hazinu, you see that. Though he says that Tshuva isn't a precondition, but it describes our steadfastness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the exile. So both are true. And Nitzavim and Hazinu, Yechezkel and Yeshayahu, each one presents a certain perspective on the Geula and the cause and the purpose of the Geula. And they're both true, and it's important to have both of these perspectives. And as such, I really don't think it's a steer on the Ramban. Rather, two different perspectives. Yes? It's a very good question. Not for tonight, but we should talk about that. How do we know we won't go back? But since you brought it up, you see the same things also in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's for him, right? But also, right, before Makas Bechoros, Omelach B'damai Chayi, Omelach B'damai Chayi, we had Dam Pesach and Damil and the like. It's a very good question. How do we know, especially if we assume that there is going to be Bechira Chafshis B'mos Mashiach? To some degree, that we're not going to mess up again. Even if we return to a state of Adam Rishon Kodem Achetz, we messed up the first time, how do we know we'll mess up the second time again? This is a very good question. But not one to start after our time is finished. Bezos Hashem, we could talk about Yemos HaMashiach. The upcoming chapters, we'll finish Perek Zayin next time, but then in Perek Ches Tes, we can talk about Olam Haba, and then we could also spend some time talking about Yemos HaMashiach as well. All right, so we'll pick up Ezra Hashem next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.